The account of the life of this little baby continues, and the angel comes to Joseph in a dream and sends Joseph and the family to Egypt. And when Herod realized he had been outwitted by the Magi, he was furious, and he gave orders to kill all the boys in Bethlehem and its vicinity who were 2 years old and under, in accordance with the time he had learnt from the Magi. Then what was said through the prophet Jeremiah was fulfilled. A voice is heard in Ramah, weeping and great mourning, Rachel weeping for her children and refusing to be comforted because they are no more. And of course we also know how the story goes on, and Herod dies eventually, and the angel comes again to Joseph, get up, take the child and you may return again to Judea. And they go and they find that Herod's son is there, so they withdraw from Judea to Galilee, and Jesus Christ grows up in the town of Nazareth. Well, I hope just to draw your attention to one verse this evening, the quote from this passage, the quote that is of the Old Testament. A voice is heard in Ramah, weeping and great mourning, Rachel weeping for her children and refusing to be comforted because they are no more. And if you need a title for this evening to hang on what I'm saying on, and that is that Jesus is a unique baby, and his birth is marked by a sign of grief or a sign of weeping. You see, Matthew's gospel is full of the tragedy of Christmas. There are depths here we need just to unpack briefly so as we can consider it. Ramah, for instance, what is this place? It was a town about 5 miles north of Jerusalem. And it's the place where the captives were taken when Jerusalem was sacked by the Babylonians, and Nebuzaradan, the marshal of the troops, takes the captives and numbers them and counts them and picks the ones he wants to take to Babylon. And we hear much of it in our news today, don't we, of captives and of refugees. Boko Haram and the girls in Nigeria, the Yazidis on Mount Sinjar. Rings a bell today, doesn't it? But you know, it's not just 2,000 years ago, is it? It's not just on a national scale. Too often in the lights and the presents and the joy of family reunions and parties and the like, we forget that there are those who find this the hardest time of year. They're missing someone. They have such painful memories of how they were treated once. They have a disability or an illness that means that all those people and all those parties are just more hard work, are difficult rather than fun. It seems to me that this year I have been bombarded by news of those who find this time of year so hard and so difficult, not one of undeserved joy. I mean, how can we have missed the focus on the First World War and the tragedy of that? Yes, alleviated on Christmas Day by that football match and other things. I was at a primary school carols afternoon just recently, and the children read World War I poems and others alongside the carols, and it was very poignant, very moving. You see, Matthew is real about the grief that comes with life. As he tells us the account of what happened to baby Jesus, he's no glossing over the hard facts. Rachel, we read, was weeping for her children. But you know, Rachel was never consoled in this life. As our prayer team have gone out onto the streets this Christmas, they have been asked to pray for such situations. It's right here, it's very real. In truth, for some, the grief we experience in this life may fade, but never go away. So what are we to make of these situations? Can we really read Matthew's gospel and find help? I believe we can, because here he presents Jesus Christ as the light arriving in this most dark of times. He presents Jesus as the one who comes and brings comfort for all. I want to take just a few minutes this evening to sketch for you the bare bones of how that may happen. I don't expect to convince you completely this evening, but I hope I can start you thinking. And perhaps we can carry on that conversation over a mug of punch or a mince pie afterwards. You see, Matthew shows us that the attempt on Jesus' life by Herod is a fulfillment of prophecy. You see, the people were expecting the Messiah. This is what their hope was built on. They were looking forward to a day when God himself would rescue them and take them out of a broken and damaged world where there is pain and strife to one where there isn't, where everything is right and good and proper and holy. And they have invested their hope in the Messiah, and they're expecting the Messiah, and Jesus comes and he's meant to be the Messiah, and Herod tries to kill him. Can you imagine the grief the people would have felt if the Messiah had indeed been killed? What future do they have? None. What hope can they cling to? None. What relief from this world? None. So then there are two griefs here in this passage. The first is that which we suffer now, the grief of the terrible murders, and indeed the news reports we hear today, Herod committing that terrible act that defies description. But he missed his intended target. He missed his intended target. God would not let the hope of heaven die for his people. It's not as bad as it could have been. God is restraining the evil that is in the world, ensuring that baby Jesus escapes to Egypt and returns when it is safe and goes on to complete his ministry and bring light to the world. God is ensuring that this second grief, the worst grief, the having no hope at all for heaven and for the future, is not to be happening. It doesn't have to happen. We do not have to grieve about the future because Jesus escapes. He will come. The Messiah will bring comfort and grace. The one who saves from sin and restores men and women, boys and girls to life, survives. And so the second grief, the deeper grief, is one from which we can be spared. One from which we can know comfort. The Bible teaches this so very clearly. The Bible shows us that this baby Jesus has come to deal not primarily with the issues we face today, the hardships and the difficulties. He has come to deal with the underlying causes. He has come to deal with these things in such a way that when we are set free from them, they will never happen again. And when we are rescued out of this world by his love and grace, we go to a place where there is no sin, where there is no pain. We sang that carol, didn't we? Quietly he came as a helpless baby. One day in power he will come again. Swift through the skies he will burst with splendor on the earth to reign. Jesus is going to return, and it won't be like last time. He will return in splendor and glory, and he will wipe away all the grief. Do you remember the reading we read at the beginning from Isaiah about how it will be? The little infant and the snake will play together. They will. And the lion will lie down with the lamb. That is what we hope for because of the Messiah. And for today, while we wait, we must remember this. We must see this whole account. In all the circumstances of life, we must understand our God is restraining evil, limiting its power and effect, and all so that we might have a chance to get to know this account of this baby, and get to know this baby, and let him into our lives, and acknowledge him as king, so that when he returns, we are those who he takes with us out of the problem and up and in to what is perfect, so that we can trust him for the future. For this baby Jesus is the holy child of Bethlehem who will descend to us if we pray. He will cast out our sin and enter in. And indeed, you can have a second birthday, a new beginning with him. So do you hear the Christmas angels who bring those great glad tidings? Do they speak to you this evening of Jesus, who is the great comforter, the one who comes as the very love of God to a broken and damaged world, who can and does comfort us and promise us full answers in the world to come, and true justice in our lives when we live with him? This is Jesus, and I hope you will come to know him if you don't already. And then I hope you can sing with me the words of our final carol. Hail the heaven-born Prince of Peace. Hail the Son of Righteousness. Light and life to all he brings, risen with healing in his wings. Mild he lays his glory by, born that man no more may die. Born to raise the sons of earth, born to give them second birth. Hark the herald angels sing, glory to the newborn King.